Tell you. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Good testimonies tonight. And the Lord's given us a beautiful day for Resurrection Sunday. For our final hymn tonight, let's stand and open up to 260. If you're at 257, just flip the page. 260. What a friend we have in Jesus. First and last. Praise the Lord. Faithful. Joseph Scriven wrote these words long ago. Still true today. Please be seated, folks. That awesome solace that we have in him. He consoles us, amen. Whenever we're going through tribulation, trial, or temptation, whatever the need might be, Jesus is there for us. Oh, praise the Lord. Sister June, I meant to ask you, how was that Chinese food?
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah.
It's a great meal.
Yeah, I told you, they are the best in the land. You cannot beat the... Watoy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Big plate
and yeah, the wife was telling me about that. Boy, oh boy, they are the best.
My stomach is more than my eyes.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to overdo it on that. Stuff is so good. All right, folks, we'll sing again after. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. And as you're turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Praise the Lord for visitors this morning. Pray they'll come back. Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing our studies tonight, of course, in the eight mysteries of the New Testament. For the sound man, we're in week 5, part number 5. Now, we're still looking at the first mystery of the New Testament. And that, of course, is the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom. We've noted that there are 5 specific facets of the mystery of the kingdom. Last week, we saw the first facet, which was the universal or eternal aspect of the kingdom. Tonight, we come to the second facet of the mystery of the kingdom. That is the spiritual kingdom. That it is a spiritual kingdom. Not only is it eternal, not only is it universal, but it is a spiritual kingdom. Now, the meaning of this second facet, called the spiritual kingdom, is literally God's rule in the heart of the believer. So the spiritual kingdom of God does not include all people. Okay? You've got to be born of God in order to be part of this kingdom. It is God's rule in the heart of the believer. And that is by his Holy Spirit, by the way. That goes unsaid. The spiritual kingdom is comprised of all true believers and only true believers, whether dead or alive. Okay? Also, the only means of entering into the spiritual kingdom is by spiritual regeneration, new birth. You must be born again to enter it. The spiritual kingdom officially commenced in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. They were born of God by the Spirit of God, and the spiritual kingdom began. Okay? It will continue on through the church age until the rapture of the church. Now note here, the church and the spiritual kingdom are synonymous. They're the same entity, the bride and body of Christ. It is unique and different from any other group of people in world history. You are a part of something so special that you are the bride of Messiah, the Son of God. You are a very intricate, important piece of that puzzle because you have a unique entity. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 6 and we'll begin tonight's study. In Matthew chapter 6, look with me. Jesus Christ, of course, is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. We know that. But watch what Jesus Christ says to the people that were listening to him. Drop down with me to verse number 33. Jesus says, words in red, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, notice here what accompanies entrance into the spiritual kingdom. Verse 33, the righteousness of God. When one enters into the spiritual kingdom, they enter into a newness of life that brings righteousness, true righteousness, Paul calls it, and true holiness, which is the righteousness of another, that is Jesus Christ. It is by imputation of his righteousness, perfect sinless life, that you are counted worthy to enter heaven, Mark, one day. Isn't that beautiful? Entrance into the spiritual kingdom of God brings righteousness everlasting. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 19. Something else about the spiritual kingdom we find in Matthew 19. And look in Matthew 19 with me at verse 13. Oh, I had a ball preparing tonight's message. It says in verse 13, "Then were there brought unto him," Jesus, "little children, that he," Jesus, "should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not for to come unto me. For of such is heaven." Their spirit, why? Because they're spiritually alive. Now, I've tussled with preachers about this. Oh, they're born dead in sin. They die, they go right to hell. Yeah, buddy, you got a lot of love of God, don't you? Man, oh man. No, they don't. The cross of Jesus Christ paved the way for them too. And they're not born spiritually dead. They're born with a sin nature. But they haven't sinned yet. They're born spiritually alive until they come to the understanding of what sin is. Then they become a lost, spiritually dead sinner, like you and I were. Okay? So Jesus says, hey, you don't forbid them to come to me, because that's how they are in the kingdom of heaven. Of such little children, is the kingdom of God. Next, look at with me at verse 16. Same chapter. Look at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he, Jesus, said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. What in the world do we have going on in verse 17? Jesus says, you want to go to heaven right now? I haven't gone to the cross yet. You've got to keep Mosaic code. And you've got to live by faith, and you've got to die in faith. Mm-hmm. That's not to get to heaven. That's to get to Abraham's bosom. Because Jesus Christ had not yet paid for the sins of the world. Now observe here that the Old Testament dispensation of law had not yet expired. You know that Jesus Christ lived under Mosaic law, and he kept it perfectly for all of us who couldn't. I'm so glad of that. It had not yet expired until he went to the cross and paid the price. He nailed the law of Moses to that cross as well as himself. Then look at verse 23. In verse 23, then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, very few rich people end up going to heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, it's not impossible, but it's very difficult to win them to the Lord. Rich people, people millionaires, you know, they got everything, they think they've got everything they need, but they don't know God. Now, here we learn, beloved, listen carefully, that material wealth and possessions only tend to promote spiritual blindness. Go with me to John chapter 3. Material wealth and possessions only promote spiritual blindness. Missionaries on the field tell me all the time, Brother Bob, the poorer the people group is, the more open they are to the gospel. They recognize their need. Problem in America, people don't recognize their need. Look at me in John chapter 3. Something else about the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom that is. Look at verse 3. You know the story. Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is clearly showing us here how one gains entry into the spiritual kingdom. He says, first, you've got to be born physically. That is, in a placebo full of water, born of water. Then you've got to be born spiritually by the Holy Spirit of God, okay? Verse number 5 makes that absolutely crystal clear. He says, not only can you not enter it if you're not born again, you can't see it. That means it doesn't exist to you. A lost person, heaven's not real to them. Hell's not real. The devil's not real. Jesus isn't real. Why? Because they're spiritually blind. They're spiritually dead. A dead man cannot feel anything, okay? Until they come to life in Jesus Christ and enter into the spiritual kingdom, they will not know of its reality. But you do. You do. Amen. I'm so glad that we do. Now here, Jesus says that without regeneration, the spiritual kingdom of God is unknowable. It's undetectable. I know I never believed in heavenly things, spiritual things, before I got, except the dark side, before I got saved. I never believed that I was going to hell. I never believed that the devil could actually blind me to something. See? It's not until your eyes are open spiritually. Now turn to Acts chapter 8. Good stuff tonight. In Acts chapter 8, we have the stoning of who? That's right, Stephen. And we named our youngest son after this man. Was the first martyr. He was the first martyr of the church in the first century. And look what we read here in Acts chapter 8, verse number 12. Acts 8, verse 12. We read, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon, this is Simon the sorcerer, himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Notice here, beloved, that the key to entering the spiritual kingdom is given twice in two verses. Notice in verse 12, the word believed and things concerning the kingdom of God, that's the spiritual kingdom. Verse 13, Simon himself also believed. And what happened to them? They both entered the spiritual kingdom by believing. By believing. It's that simple. One only has to believe what the Bible says Jesus Christ did for him or her, and they enter in by new birth, spiritual birth, into that kingdom, the spiritual kingdom we're talking about tonight. Now, glory to God that faith is the key to unlocking the glorious blessings of the kingdom. Go to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is preaching his farewell address to the church at Ephesus. How they loved the apostle. What a beautiful picture is here between a pastor and his congregation. There is a bond, amen, that develops over time where between the people and the under-shepherd. I emphasize under-shepherd that God places over that congregation. And they loved Paul. They were weeping because he had to leave town. But look with me in Acts chapter 20 at verse 24. Watch what he says. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Now, what I want you to notice in these two verses is, observe here that the preaching of the gospel is the preaching of the spiritual kingdom. We have Paul testifying that he preached the gospel of grace in verse 24. And then in verse 25, he says, I preach the kingdom of God. They're synonymous, folks. The spiritual kingdom is the gospel. It's preaching how you enter into it through the gospel. That is the death, burial, and resurrection that we spoke of this morning, of Jesus Christ. We don't preach a visible, physical, literal kingdom today. Amen? That's for the elect nation Israel, not the elect bride. We preach a spiritual, invisible, unseeable kingdom. That's the gospel of the dispensation of grace that we live in. If I was in the tribulation period, or if I was in the Old Testament period, I would preach the visible, physical, literal kingdom of Messiah, which is yet to be set up, but it will. All right, go to Colossians chapter 1, folks. In Colossians chapter 1, so good to see our church secretary Ellie tonight. She wasn't feeling well this morning, but the Lord raised her up to be with us tonight. Amen? He's faithful. In Colossians chapter 1, I love this chapter so much. Look with me here at verse 12. Very interesting. Three things we're going to see here. In Colossians 1, verse 12, we read, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that means fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who, notice the progression, semicolon, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom. Oh, you're already in the kingdom? Yep. According to verse 13, you are. Of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, three things demand our attention here, beloved. First, we learn here concerning the spiritual kingdom that you cannot make yourself fit or worthy for this kingdom, but that God can. Look at verse 12 again. Giving thanks unto the Father, your Father in heaven, which hath made us meet. to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You see what he said in verse 12? He said, God made you a fit component of heaven. A fit participant of the spiritual kingdom of God. How did he do it? Oh, we got to keep reading to find out how he did it. But right now, we just got to realize that he did it and not us. Religion teaches what man can do to make himself meek for the kingdom of God. Salvation and Christianity teaches what God can do to make you fit for the kingdom of God. Secondly, notice that a translation must take place from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Verse 13. Who hath, past tense, beloved, not will, he already has, delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, listen very carefully here. You, as a child of God, you're washed in the blood, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're born of God. You have been literally translated from the devil's kingdom up and out and into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You see what he said there in verse 13? A translation has taken place. You have already left the family of Adam, and you've entered the family of the second Adam. Amen? You've left the family of Satan, spiritually, and you've entered the family of God, spiritually. So you are already in, it has already taken place, the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. Thirdly, there's something else we must realize from these verses, and that is, thirdly, that all those who have been translated into the spiritual kingdom do presently have all their sins forgiven and removed. Look at verse 14. Don't miss this. In whom, his dear Son, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul says you already have your sins forgiven. That's why you're a part of the spiritual kingdom. Your sins are gone. You say, but Pastor, I still sin. Yeah, so do I. A wrong thought is a sin. A misspoken word is a sin. But that sin, listen to me, I want to make a statement that's going to blow your spiritual socks off, because you won't find many pastors preaching this. That sin you may commit tomorrow is already forgiven. Judicially. Okay? But you have to confess it and ask forgiveness for it to continue fellowship, unbroken fellowship with the Lord. Okay? And be, why? Because you won't go to heaven? No, you're going to heaven so that you won't get spanked. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that that if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That means chastised by the Lord. If we sin and we don't confess it, we're going to get spanked, we're going to get chastised. Why? Because he's our Father. He's not going to let us live that way. I am so glad tonight that God will not allow Bob Oliver to do the things he used to do. God will not allow you to live the way you used to live, because you now belong to him. You are his property and possession. Whoa. Yeah, if rubber hits the road there. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Something else we learn about the spiritual kingdom. Look at verse 10. Colossians 4, verse 10 we read, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Paul's in the Mamertine prison at Rome, in the dungeon. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, that's John Mark, touching whom ye received commandments. If he got right with God. If he come unto you, receive him. He's a good man. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. Those are full-blooded ethnic Jews who received Jesus Christ. Okay, it's called a complete Jew. These only are my what? Fellow workers unto the what? Kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Listen carefully and observe here, beloved, that all those who've entered the spiritual kingdom of God by new birth, regeneration, are now fellow workers in the kingdom. You are a fellow worker with Paul. You are a fellow worker with me. You are a fellow worker with the brother or sister sitting next to you. Why? Because you're part of the kingdom. Every member of the kingdom is important. There's not one of us that don't have a job to do for Jesus. We're fellow workers, and it's time to roll up our sleeves and get busy, folks, because we don't have much time. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Flip the page one time, you'll be there. 1 Thessalonians, look in chapter 2 at verse 12. Paul says that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, notice here that every single member of the spiritual kingdom has answered the call of God. You see that in verse 12? He says, God has called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, contrary to popular belief amongst Calvinism, that calling can be refused. You must exercise your volition, your free will, to say, you know what? Hey, when your telephone rings, let me ask you a question. Do you have to pick it up? No, you can. If you don't want to pick it up, you don't have to. It's yours. But if you choose to pick it up, who made that decision? The guy next door? No, you did. You did. And it's the same way when God calls, you need to make a decision. Am I going to pick up that spiritual phone? Am I going to answer that call? Am I going to enter into life in Jesus Christ? It's a decision that we make, and it's a call from heaven. Oh, that's the most important call you ever receive in your life. When heaven comes knocking, amen, and the Holy Spirit goes to work on your heart and starts bringing you and softening you to the gospel and showing you the Word of God and revealing Jesus Christ to you, that's the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's the most beautiful time of our lives, because once we make that step of faith into the spiritual kingdom, everything, the lights come on. Everything becomes, you know, heaven is what, you know it's real. You know the devil wanted to take you to hell forever. You know that you are now a child of God. You know your sins are forgiven. One more thing, and we'll be done tonight. Go with me to Luke chapter 17. And Luke chapter 17. And get Romans chapter 14. And we'll finish up. In Luke chapter 17, this is real important to note here, because some folks are looking for a physical, literal, visible, huge kingdom on earth, and they're not going to get it till after the tribulation period. Look with me here in Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Words in red. 20. And when he, Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, now remember, here in Luke 17, the Messiah has already been rejected by the elect nation Israel. They've said, their leaders said, we don't want you to reign over us, go away. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said, from here on out, boys, we're going to preach a spiritual kingdom that will take up residence within the believer. Okay? Not an external pomp and glorious physical structure like they have in Rome there and St. Peter's Basilica and all that garbage. That's nonsense. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you and you and you and you and you. Amen? I'm so glad it's in us. Now, go over to Romans for our final reference. Romans chapter 14. I love this verse. Romans chapter 14, don't miss this in closing. Jesus said, that kingdom is going to be within you, believer. And watch what Paul says about it in verse 17. For the kingdom of God, where did Jesus say it is? Oh, yeah, in you. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love that verse, because I've got three things from my God who is in me. I've got joy like a river. I've got peace that passeth understanding. And I've got righteousness of God. And I've got it all in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is in us. And he, listen to me, he alone brings the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, into us. And when that kingdom comes into you, it's got to come out. It's got to manifest in your life. It's got to be seen by somebody. Amen. Why? Because it's alive. Because it's real. I'm so glad tonight, folks, that we're not spinning our wheels, but we've got the kingdom of God in us. And it's righteousness, and it's peace, and it's joy. Yes, we have heartaches and difficulties and trials and tribulations to go through. But through it all, Paul said, the Lord stood with me and delivered me. Ah, so thankful tonight for the spiritual kingdom. We've seen the first facet of the mystery of the kingdom, that it is both universal and eternal. We've seen the second facet tonight of the mystery of the kingdom, that it is spiritual. Next week, we will examine the third facet of the mystery of the kingdom, that is the theocratic kingdom, that is of God's rule over a particular nation. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for this aspect, the second facet of the mystery of the kingdom, that it is a spiritual kingdom that is real and it is within us. I'm so glad, Lord, I don't have to wait till I get raptured or buried to enter into that kingdom. I'm so glad that it's already in me and I'm already in it and I'm enjoying it. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these dear ones that come week in, week out to hear the word of God and to draw closer to Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom. Lord, bless us as we're dismissed tonight. Thank you for this resurrection day. Oh, what a blessing to celebrate the glorious rising of the King of Kings. We honor you today, Lord, and we love you with all that is within us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's grab our hymnals, folks. We'll have to sing one in closing tonight. And go with me to 67. Hymn 67. We'll finish with. I think this song says it all concerning that this is Resurrection Sunday. This morning we sang, "Were you there? Were you there when he rose up from the grave?" And we answered, yes. If we're saved, we were in Christ. And we are risen with Christ. And tonight we'll sing, "Jesus paid it all." And we're going to sing the first, second, and the fourth. Let's stand. Oh, thank you, Lord. Love the words of this hymn. Hear the Savior sing, thy strength indeed is strong. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Tonight. Going to ask Brother Mark to dismiss us in prayer. Have a blessed week. And I hope to see you on Wednesday night at 7 for our studies in the book of Galatians. Brother Mark.
Bless you, Jesus. Thank you for this.
Oh, yes, Lord.
In your name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.